St. Paul says today in the epistle that we should be rejoicing in hope. And in the gospel, St. John writes, the mother of Jesus saith to him, they have no wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. From St. Paul's omnibus epistle of virtues, I select hope today. It is a day for it. If Our Lady, unasked, approached her son to head off a family's potential embarrassment at the wedding feast, they have no wine. Our Lady says very simply with confidence, how much more do you think she will say a word to her son on behalf of this country dedicated to her Immaculate Conception and the land which is today blessed with more good priests and more holy masses than any place else in the world? Hope, it is a day for it. Besides, it is 150 years ago today that Our Lady of Hope appeared, the 17th of January, 1871, in a little village in France between Normandy and Brittany. It was wartime in France. It often was back then. Leaders love wars. But this war, the Franco-Prussian, was a disaster for France. The emperor at this point had been captured by the enemy and 300,000 of his troops, and other soldiers were panicking, and the nation panicked. Paris was under attack, and two epidemics, real ones, mind you, were going on, typhoid and smallpox. France prayed. I wonder if America has been praying these months. But finally, they gave up and said, rather sardonically, go ahead and pray, God's not listening. At Pomain, after the Sunday Vespers on the 15th, the parish priest, Father Guérin, intoned the hymn as he always did. They had hymns in a rosary afterwards. Mother of Hope, whose name is so sweet, protect our France. Pray, pray, pray for us. He intoned, and nobody sang. He turned around to the people and he said, you have to sing. And they did, through their tears. By Tuesday the 17th, the Germans were a little over 30 miles away. Talk about prompt help. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Barbadette family, whose children would be privileged to see the vision, they were doing the family chores at the farm, and a neighbor lady came over to tell them that their son, they had been worrying about, he was a soldier in the armor, and his name was Auguste, that she got word that he was safe. And then about an hour later at sunset, the oldest boy, Eugene, pokes his nose out to see what the weather is, and he comments to the others, so many stars in the sky. And then the Virgin Mary appears, is only seen by the children, so beautiful. And at that hour, the enemy troop, for no particular reason, simply withdrew. And a week later, the armistice was signed. You're praying, I know you are, at this 11th hour, when the communists are so close, and all of those tens of thousands of soldiers are deployed in Washington. And you wonder, so many, where were they all of those months of the riots? And the barbed wire, they found that too, and that's been unrolled into place. But you are hopeful, and you are even rejoicing in hope. Ah, my friend, though, please remember what hope is not. It is not the vague sentiment that somehow things will turn out okay. It'll be all right, you'll see. Father Chicada and I had picked up this phrase, we'd heard it someplace in our travels, and we used to repeat it, ironically, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, when things looked really drear. Perhaps I even said it to Father at some point over the course of the past year, but it was all right. His cancer returned and he died, rather suddenly, actually, but I did see that it was all right. Our Christian virtue of hope, from the Greek to anticipate, does not mean attaining what you desire and avoiding what you dread. This is not the hope of those who follow the crucified. Our Lady of Hope appeared, and at a certain point, she held a crucifix in her hands, and the corpus was all covered with blood. Christian hope leads to Calvary and makes us almost lunge towards God, who will carry us through and not around the worst. Father, he prays at the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We surrender, somehow trusting and truly hoping that we will fall into the very arms of God. Death, brutal, grotesquely real, is actually part of the plan. You can't say it's an invader, not really. St. Paul talks about that at the Matins office this morning. It struck me. He said that sometimes things get so bad, he writes that to the Corinthians, that he's weary of living. But then he goes on, but we had in ourselves the answer about death, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raiseth the dead, who hath delivered and doth still deliver us out of so great dangers, in whom we trust that he will yet also deliver us, you helping withal in prayer for us. I think that says it all. But what are you going to say about all of those Christian folk who've stayed away from church all of this time and have given up the Mass, but have kept the mask and are hiding themselves behind it and in the house? You have to shake your head and wonder, well, where's Jesus crucified? Don't they have a crucifix in their home? Where's the hope? Much less the rejoicing part. Oh, we fall many times, but we're caught and we rise. And that's hope with a capital H. And it is enough, I think, to cover what is happening at the Capitol in Washington this Sunday. What with the enemy at the gate, and there's no armistice on offer. Still, we look for the small signs, that human hope that also points in its own way to God, who has pity on us and hears our prayers. So the Barbadet family, how consoled they were just to hear that their boy would be okay in the army. Some say today, this is meant to encourage us, well, they've gone too far, and they've gone too fast. You'll see that's going to trip them up. And others, that they've underestimated the degree of opposition to the vaccines. And most people are starting to see, to doubt, and opposing these forced vaccines. One analyst simply says, well, you have to remember it's a play. And in any play with a hero, you always get to the low point after the second act, but you have to wait to the third act to get your resolution. Our story's not over yet. And in the meantime, we shelter safe in the shadow of the cross and under the stars of Our Lady of Hope. You know, usually with apparitions, only the children are privileged to see them. And in this case, maybe the priest as well. The people came, though. They heard about it, and they came, and they prayed. But eventually they got cold, and they went to the barn to warm up. But the little ones who could see, they knelt in the snow for 3 hours. And the priest led them in every prayer and hymn he could think of, and they knew all of them by heart. The children knelt in the snow, and they didn't feel a thing. And when they started singing the hymns, this has never happened in an apparition before, Our Lady smiled, and then she started directing with her hands, as a director would, the music. And then at that point, a banner slowly, horizontally unfolded itself with the words, but pray, my children, God will hear you in a little while. My son allows himself to be touched. It was their devotion, and their devotions, I think, which did it, the devotion to the Passion of Christ and to the Holy Cross, to the Rosary of the Virgin Mary and to Our Lady. Those are supernatural means, prayer. The natural means have failed us. I mean, politics and parties. It's time, perhaps, for Pommin again. Our Lady came that night to tell them that she had noticed. Her son then said nothing. At Cana, though, Jesus objected. My hour has not yet come. But never mind. He did what his mother asked. And that is why we say that the Mother of God is omnipotent in prayer. That is to say, if she asks, she always receives. And Jesus allows his heart to be touched. Persevere. Pray on. This is the message of Pommin, of Cana, of today's gospel, and of the gospel. This is how you rejoice in hope. Through it all, it'll be all right. You'll see. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.